Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Everyone, you can say, thank you, Pastor. You're such a wonderful, kind person. That should be the response there. Psalms chapter 31 this evening. Psalms chapter 31. If you want to understand the context of Psalms 31, you look in two different verses. They sit as the bookends for the chapter. We've said this before, when you're studying the Psalms, sometimes if you want to know what a particular psalm is about, you look at how it begins and you look at how it ends. And where it begins and where it ends are generally, right? That's generally the target at which the psalmist is moving us throughout the passage. And verse number one, the psalmist tells us where we're beginning. He tells us the direction that we are headed. Verse number one, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be, what's the word? Ashamed. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. And let me never be ashamed. Don't let shame rule in my heart and in my life. Don't let shame reign over my heart and in my life. Don't let the flag of shame be the flag that flies over my castle. Don't let it be shame. Let me never be ashamed. And look at verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. And let me not be, what's the word? Ashamed, O Lord. For I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Man, here he says it again. Let me not be ashamed. Man, the Psalm 31 is aimed at the target of our shame. Our shame. Our shame. Sometimes you say this to your son or daughter, especially when they were little. Maybe to your dog, if it used the restroom in the house, you'd say, shame on you. Shame on you. What do we mean by that? Shame on you. You say, well, we don't talk about shame. Shame is a bad thing, right? We all understand that shame isn't a good thing to feel. It's not a good thing to have. But what is shame in the Bible? What does it have to do with our Christian life? What does it have to do with our Christian experience? What does it have to do in our relationship with God? What place should shame, if any, what place should shame have in our hearts and in our lives? And how should it move us in the direction of God? Man, going all the way back to Genesis chapter number 2, God created Adam and Eve. He set them in a perfect world, a world that was beautiful and whole and complete. Moses in Genesis chapter 2 gives a summary statement. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24, he gives us a summary statement of what life in the Garden of Eden was like. And the man and woman were naked and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. Man, and then Genesis chapter 3, what happens? Man, Genesis chapter 3 happens and sin enters into the world. Man, along comes a talking serpent who begins to distort and lie and blame and bring God into doubt. And the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, our first parents, believe the lie. They rebel and sin against God in that they disobey God and His word. And the man and the woman, in response to their disobedience to God and in their response to the acceptance of the lie from the serpent, man, they run and they hide. And the Bible says they take fig leaves for themselves and they cover themselves because they are ashamed. Because they are ashamed. God, Genesis chapter 3, walks in the garden in the cool of the day as He was known to do with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve show up and God says, where were you? Why were you hiding? I called, you didn't come. And what do you have on your person? And they said, well, we made these leaves to cover ourselves because we were naked and we were ashamed. And God says, well, who told you you were naked? Shame. Now, what is shame? What does shame cause us to do? Shame causes us to do the same thing that it caused Adam and Eve to do. Shame causes us to hide from. Shame causes us to hide from. Shame causes us to hide from God, from our authority, from our parents, from our boss. Shame causes. You do something at work and you are ashamed that you did it. You made a mistake and you are ashamed that you did it. What do? You run and you hide. When your kids were really little and they messed up or they did something wrong, what did they do? They didn't want to look at you. Why? They were ashamed to look at you. Shame causes us to hide from. It was interesting. Psalms chapter number 30, the psalmist in last week, he was talking about what we do with our guilt. What do we do with the guilt that we feel when we disobey God and God brings his hand of discipline into our life and he corrects us, he moves us his way, he brings circumstances and situations into our life in order to move us toward him whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So man, this guilt we feel because of the discipline that God is bringing into our lives, man, that was Psalms chapter 30, but Psalms chapter 31, the shame we feel. The shame we feel because of the guilt and the discipline that we have experienced because of the decision or the error or the sin or the mistake that we have made. And the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is, I feel bad for what I've done. Shame is, I feel bad for who I am. Guilt is very objective. Guilt is, I broke this rule and I failed or I let you down. Guilt, shame rather, is very subjective. It is, it's not that I just broke the rule and I failed. It's that I am a failure. Man, but biblically speaking, guilt, shame, those are necessary parts of our spiritual life. They are necessary parts of moving us back and putting us right with God against whom we have sinned. Man, hiding from. That's the image I want to burn into your memory tonight. Hiding from. Shame is hiding from. Man, notice it with David, verse number 9. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my whole life is spent with grief, for my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My bones are consumed. Man, what's doing this? What's bringing this into David's life is shame. David's praying, Lord, let me not be ashamed, because when I feel the shame, this is where I'm at, verse 9, I feel the sting. That's number one, the sting of shame. The sting of shame. It's an eternal attack. Everything David feels, every place David looks, shame. Listen to his words. I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed. What's he saying? He's saying, everywhere I look, I see the shame. Everywhere I look, I see the sin. Everywhere I look, I see the mistake. Everything I see. Man, his whole perspective. His whole perspective is viewed with the shame that he feels. Not just that, my soul and my belly. My soul and my belly. What's he talking about? He's saying, even the inward part of me. And even the deep part of me. Even the part no one sees. I feel the shame of this wrong. I carry it with me everywhere I go. Man, all the way to the bone. The shame stings all the way to the bone. That's what he's saying. The sting, it's an internal attack. Man, the sting, there's the sting. It's an increasing aloneness. Look at verse 11. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors. and a fear to mine acquaintances that they that did see me without fled from me. Do you see the list? Listen to the list. Mine enemies, my neighbors, my acquaintances, and even people that were walking by me in the street, I think they were looking at me because I think they knew. I saw people whispering. They must have been whispering about me. I saw them down the hallway. They must have been talking about what they know that I did. Listen, the enemies, the friends, the close people, the strangers, all of them. What are they doing? What's David feeling? David's feeling the aloneness. David is feeling the loneliness. David is feeling the isolation of his shame. He's feeling it. He's looking. He's seeing it. Why? She didn't shake my hand. Did you see the way they looked at me? Did you see the way they said that? You ever been there? You ever done that? Maybe not you, but somebody next to you, right? Well, we've never done that, but we know somebody that did do that before, right? Man, the shame, the sting of shame. How does shame sting us? It stings us. It's an internal attack. It's all you can think. It's all you can feel. It's all you can see. It's everywhere. It's my whole life, my belly, my soul, my eyes. I'm consumed with this failure. I'm consumed with this mistake. I feel nothing but shame. Hiding from God, internal attack, increasing aloneness. Look at verse 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Man, the world keeps moving. The world keeps moving. Everyone's forgotten about me. A room full of people and all alone. Shame does that. Shame brings that. No one understands me. No one can feel what I feel. No one understands where I'm at. No one listens to my point. Man, the increasing aloneness. Man, the indicting accusation. Man, look at verse 13. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel. They took counsel together against me. And they devised to take away my life. Look at verse 18. Let the lying lips be put silent, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Man, listen to how David describes the attacking language, whispering, plotting, terrorizing, scheming, lying, accusing, scorning, contempt. All David can hear is, I don't belong, I'm not enough, I don't compare, I'm hopeless, I'm empty, I'm worthless, I'm ashamed. And we do the same things, don't we? We feel the same way, don't we? We fail when we mess up, when we sin. What do? We run, we blame, we deny, we defend, we rationalize. But the only reason I did this is because you did that. The only reason I said this is because he said that. And we play the whole blame game. We have a reason. We try to drown out the voice of shame. We try to make it go away. But it never does it? Man, we entertain ourselves. We consume all kinds of things. We look to the empty bottle. We look to the end of drugs. We look at the end of a needle and the next high that we can find. We look at the end of the next movie or song or game. Whatever can just make the feelings of shame and aloneness and attacks and the increasing identifying of how and the internalizing of what we know we did and how bad it hurts. Whatever can make it go away, for however long it can make it go away. Man, a lot of addiction rooted in shame. A lot of addiction, a lot of substance abuse rooted in shame. Man, so how do we find victory? Kurt Thompson wrote a book called The Soul of Shame. A great book. If you're struggling in this area, I would recommend this book to you. In the book, he says this. He says, we want to be rescued from shame, but we will never conquer shame with a guillotine blow. We want to be rescued from shame, but we will never conquer shame with a guillotine blow. You never just chop the head of shame off. It's not the way shame works in our lives. He continues, rather, it must be starved to death. And that will take the rest of your life. And how do we find help from the shame? How do we find victory over the shame? Well, guillotine blow, quick thing. If I just go to church, if I just try Jesus, if I just get in the choir, if I just serve on Saturday, if I just give a lot of money, if I just jump in the class, well then this can make my shame go away. And that works for a little while. It works for a little while. It helps ease it for a little while. But man, shame rears its ugly head again. We see this, we see that, we see him, we see her. It reminds us of what coulda, shoulda, woulda been. Man, we feel it all over again. Man, shame cannot be, victory over shame cannot be found with a guillotine blow. It's found by starving shame to death. And that takes the rest of our lives. Man, that takes the rest of our lives. The sting of shame. Number two, we're going to go fast. Number two, the shelter from shame. Man, the shelter from shame. Look at verse one. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me from in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And pull me out. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Who prayed that? Jesus on the cross. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Man, shelter from the shame. Shelter from the shame. How do we starve shame? Shelter from the shame. Here it is. Number one, remember the righteous position given to you by Christ. Remember the righteous position given to you in Christ. This is what David says. Oh Lord, in thee, oh Lord. Not in my goodness, not in my morality, not in my civility, not in my ability. Man, in thee, oh Lord. You, God, are all that I've got. That's what he's saying. Man, what do we need? What do I need for the shame that I feel? It's not to just feel better about myself. How do we starve out shame? It's not just feel better about yourself for a little time. Man, how do we deal with shame? It's not surround yourself with people who will just tell you everything you want to hear. Man, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Man, kisses of an enemy? Oh, those are deceitful. Man, we're trying to starve out shame, trying to deal with shame. We surround ourselves with people who only tell us what we want to hear. Man, that's not dealing with shame. Man, how do we starve out shame? It's not just feel better about yourself. It's not just have somebody come up and put their arms around you and, you know, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, it's not that bad. You're actually a better person than that. That's a temporary answer to a permanent problem. Man, what we really need is what only Jesus can give. Man, what we really need is what only Jesus can give. And only Jesus can give us absolute, complete, perfect righteousness that reshapes our entire identity and redefines our entire story. The extreme opposite of shame is not honor. It's not pride. It's not morality. It's not good behavior. The extreme opposite of shame. Those things are part of it. But the extreme opposite of pain, the real opposite, the polar opposite of pain is of shame is righteousness. Man, the extreme opposite of shame is righteousness. Man, there are none righteous, no, not one. Man, there are none good, no, not one. All men are liars, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But listen, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Man, what do we do with our shame? Man, we remind ourselves of the perfect righteousness found in Jesus Christ alone. Hey, listen, shame, the shame that you feel, the shame that I feel about decisions made, about failures had, about shortcomings, about family relationships, about relationships with our spouses or past. Man, the shame we feel, shame does not have the final word for the believer. Jesus has the final word. What do? Remind ourselves, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Listen, let me never be ashamed. How can you do that? How can you say that, David? You know what David did? You know the mistakes? He was a failure as a parent on more than one occasion. Man, he was a murderer. He was an adulteress. Man, David was not a good person. How many of you understand that? No one understands that. Me and Scott understand that. Thank you, Scott. He's the only one awake, I think, at this point. I mean, how can David say that? David can only say this because deliver me in thy righteousness, in thy righteousness. How do we starve out shame? We remind ourselves of the righteousness given to us in Christ. Man, the righteous position. Number two, the revealing precision. Look at verse 7. We stop there. Verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast considered my trouble. You know my trouble. You're aware of my trouble. You have considered my trouble. Thou hast known, fully known, all the way understand, seen me all the way through. You have known my soul. What's the next few words? In adversities. Man, what is this? What's David teaching us? David teaches us God knows everything about you. And he loves you anyway. You see, one of the reasons we feel shame is because we're always running around trying to put off this certain image to impress people around us. And one of the reasons we feel shamed, one of the reasons we are shamed is when someone finds out that we are not who we were pretending to be. Man, bring shame. Man, bring shame. Man, all of a sudden, I've got this problem here in this family relationship, and everybody thought I had this great family. Now all of a sudden, I got this revealed problem. Oh, what are they going to think? What are the lying voices, accusations, internal. It's all I can feel. It's all I can think about. It's what I feel all the way down in my belly. Now what do I do with it, man? Listen, God has never been surprised by anything you've ever done. God's never woken up on one day and gone, you know what, this isn't worth it. You're too much of a problem. God has never approached you and go, really? Again? We're doing this again. Really? Didn't we just deal with this last week? God's never done that. How many of us have ever done that? Yeah, I've done that a lot. How many times have I told my kids to pick up the Legos? A million times. Like, is this a new, this is not a new instruction. Pick up Legos. Not a new instruction. You've been told that since you were two. Why are they still on the floor? Are we going to do this? And God's never done that with you. God's never done that with me. Well, why? Man, God knows everything about you, and he loves you anyway. You see, part of the shame that we feel is because we're trying to put off an image that we don't really have. Part of the shame we feel is that we're trying to put off an image that we don't really have. Well, I just can't, I feel like I can't go to that church anymore because if people at that church know that I've got this problem, what are they going to think about me? And I always want to go, if you knew all the problems that the people at the church had, what would you think about us? Man, the church is a hospital for sinners. Hey, I'm here tonight because I got problems. You know what I mean? I don't amen on that one. You didn't raise your hand a minute ago. You don't get to amen on that one. Man, that's how you even get into Christianity. People go, Pastor, I'm fed up with Christianity. Everybody in Christianity, they're all hypocrites. And I go, what do you mean they're hypocrites? Well, I know they did this wrong and they did that wrong and they did that wrong. Man, and I want to go, we're not hypocrites. We're just telling you who we are. Man, we all, to even become a Christian, you have to recognize I've sinned and I'm a sinner. And it's by admission. I'm telling you, I'm not a perfect person. This wasn't the first sin, and it won't be the last. I mean, I'm trying to reduce sin less, but I'm not going to be sinless. You know what I mean? Man, oh, that doesn't happen until we get to heaven. Man, God knows us all the way through. We've said this before. We've said this before in our dating relationships. Man, I didn't want Amanda to know. She's in here somewhere. I don't know where she went. I didn't want Amanda. She's behind Brother Jeff. She's hiding. I didn't want Amanda to know. I didn't want Amanda. I couldn't see her. The mustache was throwing me off, Brother Jeff. I didn't want Amanda to know. I had stinky feet. Man, I was hiding that. We got married. Guess what? She found out she had stinky feet. Too late. Sorry. Till death do you part. Stinky feet included. Man, I remember kicking my shoes off. She's going, "What is that smell?" And I know it's my feet. And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. Something. It must be a skunk. Something in the house. Something's under the house. I don't know what it is." Hey, God knows everything about you. And he's aware. He's considered your trouble. He's known your adversity. And he loves you anyway. How do we starve our shame? Remind yourself of the righteousness given to you in Christ alone. Not your righteousness, not mine. Only his. Remind yourself of the righteousness given to you in Christ. Remind yourself of the revealing precision that God has in your heart and in your life. Man, number three, look at the restful provision. Verse 8, "Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." Isn't that a funny image? You've set my feet in a large room. It's a contrasting image, right? Because shame, all shame says is, how do I get out of this? All shame says is, how long till somebody finds me out? All shame says is, I'm hanging on to the ledge and I don't know how long I can last. That's what shame says. Shame says, just hold on to the ledge. I don't know how long it can last. How long till somebody knows the real me, the real problems I have? How long can I hide my stinky feet? Man, notice the contrast. David says, you've set me in a large room. Man, no longer hanging on to the edge, no longer claustrophobic, no longer boxed in. Man, now, lots of room, breathing room. Breathing room. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. "Stand fast, therefore." Man, big room. Stand fast in a really big room. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." And rest there, live there. God knows everything about me. Hey, listen, you're not going to tell him anything about me that he doesn't already know. And he loves me anyway. And he bought me with his son. And it's his righteousness on me, not my righteousness within me. In the end, stand fast in that liberty. Man, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus alone. That's peaceful. That's freeing. That's relieving. That's breathing room for the soul. In fact, God has given your soul breathing room. He's allowed you to go, it just feels good to breathe. Let me not be ashamed. Man, the shelter, the sting, the shelter. Okay, pastor, fine. That's one of those things pastors say. It's one of the things you say at church. God's given your soul breathing room. Yeah, but how? What does that mean? It's like church talk. What does that mean? You go out of here. What'd you learn at church? I learned that God gave my soul breathing room.
Okay.
I didn't know your soul couldn't breathe, you know. What does it mean? Well, David explains it. Look at verse 20. Thou shalt hide them. Ooh. Man, what does shame cause us to do? Hide from. What does shame cause us to do? Hide from. Hide from God. Hide behind the leaves from God. Hide because you're ashamed. Man, thou shalt hide them. Look at the word in, the preposition, in. Man, not hiding from, hiding in. Man, not hiding from God, hiding in God. Not hiding from God, he's going to find me out. He's going to know what I did. Not hiding from God. God already knows and he loves you anyway. God already knows and he covers you with his righteousness. Not hiding from, hiding in. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Man, look at verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Man, what's God offering to you? What's God offering to me? Those of us who are feeling the sting of shame, what's he offering to us? Man, not to hide from God, to hide in God. Man, not to hide from him. Oh, he's going to find me out. He's going to know. I'm going to be in trouble. God's going to be fed up with me. Man, this is my last straw, my last chance. No. Not hiding from God, hiding in God. Man, not running from him. No, hiding in him. How do we stop hiding from and learn to hide in? See, here's why I say this. This is it. We'll go. Here's why I say this. You're going to walk out of one of these doors tonight. And whichever one you walk out, at any door, doesn't matter. You're going to walk out a hider. A hider. You're either hiding from God or you're hiding in him. You're either walking out of here tonight behind your own righteousness, your self-righteousness, your goodness, your morality, your church attendance. Look, God, I'm this. You're either walking out of here tonight hiding from him, or you're walking out of here tonight hiding in him. Man, not I, but Christ. That's what Paul says. Man, not I, but Christ. How do we do this? How do we hide in him? Here you go. Ready? We'll go fast. Rehearse God's charity. Look at verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God. God has loved you with an unfailing, never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, forever love. You're my God. Aren't you glad David didn't go, I hope you can become my God again. No, I didn't say that. You're my God. Man, remind yourself of God's love. Look how deep his love is. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Man, how great is thy goodness. What a great verse. You know how great God's goodness is tonight? And God, David says, you want to hide in God? Remind yourself of the love of God. You want to hide in God? Remind yourself of the love of God. Rehearse God's charity. Remember who's in control. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand. What's David saying? David's saying, God, ultimately, you're in control. We said it on Sunday, God's never got up on one morning and gone, oh, they did what? Never happened. God's never been surprised. God's in full control. Remind yourself of his love. Remind yourself of his control. Your future is in the hand of God, and so is mine. Last one, recover courage. Verse number 24. It has a Tolkien-esque ring to it. Verse 24. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. It's Tolkien. Courage, dear heart. Courage. You know what one of the hardest things to do when you've felt the sting of shame? You know one of the hardest things to do? You know the hardest things to do? The right thing. When you felt the sting of shame from a failure in your life, sometimes the hardest thing, you know it's right, you know you should, but sometimes the hardest thing to do is to walk back through the door of a church and sit back down in the pew. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just me? Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is take courage. Take courage. Notice what he says. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. You see, here's what happens. If I had the strength, I would be courageous. It's not how it works. You don't get the strength and then courageous. Once you have the strength, you don't need courage. Once you know you're going to win, you don't have to be brave now. You know you're going to win. No. Take courage.
and he shall strengthen. You understand the order? And you take courage. It translates in the New Testament like this: the just shall live by faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Man, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Man, how do we hide in? How do we hide in God instead of hiding from him? Remember his love. Remember his goodness. Remember his kindness. Remember God's in control. Nothing's happening in your life right now that is out of his control. It's out of your control. It's out of my control. But it's not out of his control. God's in control. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing a good job. And remember to take courage. Find courage, and you will find strength for your heart. Let's stand for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank